Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We'll continue on with our fellowship concerning in this matter of how to meet. We're now on this section on chapter 8, I believe, on in the Lord's name. Okay? So maybe we could, just some of us could read Matthew 18:20. This is the first crucial verse that's covered in this section on how to meet. Well, the title, let's read this together. How to meet in the Lord's name. So this is the first mention of the meeting of the believers in the New Testament is in Matthew 18:20.
Amen.
So for those of you who have it or can recite it from memory, what does it say? For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. Okay? And then on Acts 2:38, it's interesting about the believers in Acts. He mentioned not just the name, but also the Spirit.
Amen.
So, Dave, do you have that one? Maybe one or two could read Acts 2:38. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to read the Scriptures. And then how about someone else look up 1 Corinthians 12:3, and maybe a couple on 1 Corinthians 14:31 and 32. Okay, why don't you read that, Dave? Acts 2:38, brothers.
And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized upon the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
So this verse, you have on the one hand the name, on the other hand you have the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, then how about 1 Corinthians 12:3? We brought this back here.
"Therefore I make known to you that no one
speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." So there again it connects the name and the Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord or Lord Jesus except in the Holy Spirit. How about now 1 Corinthians 14:31 and 32? You have over here maybe? Aren't you sisters there?
"For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged."
And 32? "And the Spirit
of prophets are subject to prophets."
Okay, so there's a marvelous progression here. In this chapter, our brother Brent, there's a principle of sowing and growing and reaping or harvesting. And you start out with the first mention. The first mention of how to meet, you might say, or the meeting of the believers is in Matthew 18:20. "For where two or three of you are gathered," that implies meeting, right? It says, there am I. Gathered into my name. So the first mention of meeting is related to the Lord's name. But you consider how many Christians really practically and in reality, what does it mean to meet in the name of the Lord Jesus? Many Christians, I would say, in a good way, they realize that we should meet in the Lord's name. Okay, we don't, meet in some other name. We meet in the name of the Lord. But what does that practically mean? So our brother brings out in this chapter that the Spirit is the reality of the name of the Lord's name.
Amen.
And I was reminded too in John chapter 14 when the Lord, before the Lord goes to the cross, of his promise concerning the Comforter, the Spirit of reality. It says concerning that Comforter, the Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name.
Amen.
So we need to realize in the divine view there's this marvelous connection between the name and the Spirit.
Amen.
So if I call Todd, then Todd, I say, "Todd," then Todd comes, right? He's a little bit timid because he's, he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. But the principle is if I call Todd, this person comes. You see, it's not an empty name. I could say George Washington all I want, but There's a mausoleum in Mount Vernon, Virginia that, you know, but if I call Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Guess what? A living person comes. And the person is the Spirit.
Yes.
Because Christ now is a life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
So we need to realize that the reality of meeting in the name, the reality is there's a person there. And that person is the Spirit. So there's this progression. In the book of Acts, you see in Acts 2:38, where these ones, they were charged to call on the name of the Lord, you know, to believe in the name and to repent. And then they would receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So you see the name and the Spirit. Well, how does this apply to us? Well, we need to realize that this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, through our faith, our experience of Christ, is now with our spirit.
Amen.
So it's not just the Holy Spirit, but the whole this Spirit. Well, first we have the name. Second, to meet in the name means to meet in the Spirit. And third, to meet in the Spirit means to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
I like this in this second page. Maybe that that first paragraph there. How about, brothers, read the first sentence under exercising our spirit. Now I believe you have the secret of how to meet. Sisters.
First, it is to meet in the name.
Brothers. Second, to meet in the name means to meet in the Spirit. And sisters.
Third, to meet in the Spirit means to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
So this is the way for us to attend the meetings.
Amen.
You want to know how you should attend the meetings? This is the way.
Amen.
Okay, how about brothers again? The way for Christians to meet is not to have forms, regulations, programs, and so forth, but just to exercise the Spirit. Sisters.
The Holy Spirit is mingled with our spirit.
Amen.
Therefore, when we exercise our spirit, the Holy Spirit moves with us.
Brothers, when the Holy Spirit moves with our spirit, we have the reality of the name.
Amen. We are meeting not only by exercising our spirit, but also by being in the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and thus also in the name.
How about this next sentence together, huh? The key, the secret of our meeting together is the exercise of our regenerated human spirit. Now I would say it's a little hard if it doesn't start till you come to the meeting. You know, it is the key, but actually I'd say a wonderful thing is the exercise of our spirit before we come to the meeting.
Amen.
It's like the kids who like to play basketball. They don't wait till they get on the court, you know, till they have a league game to start playing basketball. They practice, you know, behind the garage. They practice on the way to school. They practice at recess. We should find all kinds of opportunities to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
Otherwise, we're not even warmed up before the game. We'll pull a spiritual muscle. Because we're not used to exercising our spirit. So anyway, some of us, we know what it is to pull out something because we haven't, you know, gotten exercised properly. Well, then how do we how can we prove this, that this secret is the exercise of our spirit? Now the sisters read this, 1 Corinthians 14:32. It says is the strongest proof of this matter of the exercise of the spirit. How? Because 1 Corinthians 14 is one of the unique passages in the New Testament that talks about Christian meetings. And in the verse before that, it talks about all the brothers and sisters being able to function. Right? And it says that you can all prophesy. But then what does it say? It says the spirit of prophets are subject to prophets.
Amen.
So this points out that prophesying isn't waiting, you know, I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to come upon me. And if he comes, I may say something. But that's not what it says here. It says our spirit is subject to us.
Amen.
So this isn't something, you know, in a sense Pentecostal in a wrong sense, you know, that we're praying and fasting and hoping that the Holy Ghost will come upon us and then we'll have something. No. This spirit is with our spirit. We exercise our spirit. So when we come to the meeting, if we've been enjoying Christ, right, Danny? You just enjoy a little of the Lord. Then you use your spirit and speak something for the Lord.
Amen.
This is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Okay? So it tells us here that prophesying is just the exercise of our spirit. And it's not to wait for the Spirit to push us, but because the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, I mentioned before about this importance of the exercise of the Spirit. Now, what is the way to exercise the Spirit? How about let's read a little bit of this portion here, the bottom of that second page. By what way then, okay, how about together? By what way then can we take the action and initiative in our spirit? Amen. Okay, how about brothers? Praise the Lord. In these two chapters, we have two ways. Okay, sisters. Justice. Okay, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we mentioned this. 1 Corinthians 12:3. There's the name and there's the spirit. And we can exercise our spirit by what? Calling on the name. Okay, this is very good. Then skip down a little bit more. It says kind of in the middle of that paragraph, we all have to learn to say what? Lord Jesus. In the meeting, in our home, and a thousand times a day. How about sisters on the next line? I hope
that the sisters, while they are shopping in the supermarket, will say, Lord Jesus, many times.
Oh, brothers, while they are walking down the aisles and considering what to buy, they must say, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We all must say this.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, if you're going to lose your temper, you must say, Oh Lord Jesus. Right. Amen. Then your temper will be gone.
Amen.
You know, I like to say a positive word. I was so touched with Terry's mother. You know, when I was a young single brother, I remember in Long Beach, I could never forget. It seemed like while she was cooking the meal, she'd invite some of us over. She would invite students. She worked at this college cafeteria. And so she would invite over young people that she met in the cafeteria line. And so sometimes she'd invite some of the young single brothers from the brother's house or wherever to come over to eat with these students she would invite over. And I just remembered she would pray over her meal while she was cooking. She would pray for what she should cook. Yeah. She would pray as she cooked it. She would, you know, she wanted to serve just the right food to cherish those at her dinner.
Yeah.
And I always just say, wow. She just was really in her spirit, yeah, in her obtaining the food, even choosing the food,
yeah,
and then in preparing it. So she was just ministering Christ. And I thought, so I still remember it, even though it was probably quite a number of years ago, that this kind of a practice. So this isn't theory. This should be our kind of living. The more we have this kind of living,
amen,
the more we'll be in the spirit. Okay. Then in that next paragraph, the last paragraph on that page, it says, how about together? Then in the meetings, the second way to keep yourself
in the Holy Spirit
is to prophesy. Okay, now sometimes prophesy, people think that you're going to tell the future, and thus saith the Lord, you know, there's going to be a great earthquake. But although there is something about foretelling, actually in 1 Corinthians 14, we need to realize that it's not so much foretelling. In these items 2 and 3, it says it's to tell for. Like Aaron was a prophet speaking for Moses. Moses received something from the Lord, and Aaron spoke for him. We need to be those who speak for the Lord.
Amen.
Right? And then third, to tell forth, or to proclaim and declare. So these are the three meanings. So in 1 Corinthians 14, to prophesy means to tell for, more than these other meetings. It means to say something for Christ. So when we come to the meetings, it's not a matter of foretelling the future. It's a matter of speaking something for Christ, and even to speak Christ forth. Okay, now let's come to the very last paragraph. Why don't we declare that together? The way to meet, therefore, is to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the way to be in the reality of the name of the Lord Jesus is to be in the Spirit. And the way to be in the Spirit is to exercise our spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is one with our spirit. And the way to exercise our spirit in the meetings is to call Lord Jesus and to prophesy, to speak for Christ the Lord. Okay, so I believe, saints, there's much for us to... That we should, I know about this. Actually, Brother Lee would talk about the days in Eldon Hall when they'd share this. You could even hear the saints walking down in the neighborhood in their homes an hour before the meeting. They may be calling, Lord Jesus. They're realizing, I'm going to be going to the meeting. Oh, I need to exercise my spirit. Amen. It'd be great if we're exercising the spirit all the time. But at least, the meeting's going to be coming up. I need to be in my spirit. So to have some prayer, some confessing, some calling, even some singing. And then when they come to the meeting, they don't wait to prophesy. It's not, well, yes, we will have a prophesying meeting. That's wonderful. But sometimes you need to walk into the meeting and prophesy.
Amen.
Right? Saints, praise the Lord. Amen. Christ is the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
And he lives in my spirit.
Amen.
How about that kind of prophesying?
Amen.
That's prophesying. It doesn't have to be 3 minutes on a point of the message. You can prophesy as you walk in the door.
Amen.
Okay, so saints, we need to recover this day-to-day exercise of the spirit.
Amen.
Not just in the meetings, but in our daily life. You know, even when Mark is working on some kind of a contract proposal and he's staying there at 11 o'clock at night trying to get the thing out. I hope, Mark, if I would go by your office, I could hear, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Right? I mean, and sisters, while you're putting that baby to bed and they're a little kiddle and they're crying and they won't go to sleep, I hope I would hear, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Then I guarantee when we come to the meeting, our meeting will not be pretentious.
Amen.
It's not a performance.
Yeah.
It should be the expression, the overflow of the life.
Amen.
In the name, by the Spirit,
Amen.
With the exercise of our spirit,
Amen.
Then our meeting will be full of the reality of the Lord's presence.
Amen.
Okay.